I'm going to read from Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Maybe I'll stop there and just tell you what happened up to that time before we go any further, because later Jesus gives a commentary of what happened. So if you jump over to, if you're reading to around 44, he talks about this woman and he says, "Do you see this woman?" And then he says, "This is what happened when he came." So in other words, Jesus came to a Pharisee's house to have dinner, and he went and he reclined at table. But later in the commentary, it describes to us the way he was treated. And it says, "I came to your house and you did not give me water." Any water, I'm having a little trouble reading, "for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." And so that's what happened. He came in and reclined, and he wasn't treated very nicely. And if you'll study, I don't remember, I think I've taught this once here, and once I remember I was in Lincoln, Illinois, and I talked about this. So I'm not like, this isn't my favorite scripture or anything like that. It's just God brought this new picture to me tonight. And so when he came in and he went, we realized he wasn't treated very well. And if you know the culture, you realize that what he's referring to is, "You didn't do these things for me, but the problem is you did them for everybody else. You did them for the other guys, but you didn't do it for me." Because naturally, this is an insider's club, and he got invited, and he went and reclined. And that's the traditional reclining, is that this is a high-up guest. And every guest at a Jewish banquet dinner like this would have those things done. It's not even a question. You know, it's not even a question, because you're like a dignitary at a Pharisee dinner. You're treated differently. And what do? As soon as you walk in, you have servants and people that wash your feet and do all these things and treat you this way. And the kiss is a little odd for us in our culture because we associate it with other things. But in their culture back then, it was a thing of respect and honor and things like that. And the oil on the head, and is that anointing oil and that soothing, and they had people that did that. So they're being treated pretty good, you know. And so you have to understand the picture here of the culture that Jesus is talking about that we miss. So now, if you would, just picture this, where our Savior and our Lord comes into a place. They invite him to come, but when he comes, he's the only one they don't treat like a dignitary. He's the only one they didn't. It's not that they didn't. He's the only one. He's the only one they didn't wash his feet. He's the only one they didn't give him a kiss. And he's the only one that did not have oil put on his head. And you know, if you put yourself in that position, you realize there's something up here. You know, I got invited, but they didn't invite me because they like me. They invited me for another reason. And I'm feeling out of place. I'm feeling snubbed. I'm feeling a little embarrassed. I feel like I just want to get out of here. And I think, just in my interpretation of this, that's what they thought he would do. I think they were trapping him. Why did they invite him in the first place if they were going to snub him after he got there? I think they were going to trap him, thinking he's like we are, and that if we embarrass him and snub him and insult him in front of these people, he'll probably go into a rage and he'll say a bunch of junk to us and he'll shake his finger at us, and then everybody will know he's not what he says he is. He's just like everybody else. When you snub him and insult Jesus, he'll rise up and he'll say a bunch of stuff and it'll be over with, and he'll look like a fool and leave. And that's what a normal dignitary would do. If you treat him like this, they would have stomped out mad, insulted, and said, "I'll never do business with you again," type attitude. So I wanted to read that to set this up for you, that that's what's going on here. And so when he says, "You didn't do these things," we realize that he's the only one, and there's a definite insult happening here. He was invited to be insulted. There's no other reason to have him there and not have those things done. All right, now, Once you realize that, now that's where we come in. That's where I come in. That's where this conference comes in, and that's where next week comes in, and the next week comes in, and the next 6 months and into next year comes in. Now, we're back where we are to verse 37. And now let me just take one more minute to just set the picture up for you. Now we have the Jewish dinner, the banquet, and they're reclining. Now, back then, they didn't have what we have. They didn't have TV or videos or anything like that. I guess I don't need to explain that to you. You already figured that out. And so the people would get bored and want to, what are we going to do tonight? And so it was their culture that they would open up the surrounding areas and let the less dignified and the common people come and view the dinner, which to me wouldn't be any fun, but that's what they do. And so the common people, the street people, the down and out people, and the poor people who had nothing to do would come and line up around the outer court and watch these people recline and eat their grapes and wash their feet and put oil on their head. And so they're not invited. And this woman is not the only woman. There's probably a great crowd of uninvited people that it was okay, though. And don't you think it really even puffed them up even more? Look at them out there watching us. And there Jesus was invited, and he came. So anyway, now back to where I come in and where you come in the picture. You probably know the story, but you didn't understand all that. Verse 37, when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. Okay, that's good. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, and that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled," which is silly. What do you mean you suppose? You know exactly what's going on here. But anyway, "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned toward the woman and said to her, "Do you see this woman?" And he starts describing what she did. All right? Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is that's the story, and we in this culture don't understand what happened. We have a problem. We have a little bit of a culture problem here, all right? We have Jesus reclining. We got the other Pharisees reclining. We got the washing of the feet, the oil, and all the things they're doing. And Jesus is being the only one not having that treatment. Okay, that's okay. We have this woman, and she ends up now coming down and pouring the perfume and washing his feet. And that's okay. But we got a big problem here, because this woman is part of the outer court, uninvited, and would never be allowed. Never, never, never would this sinner woman ever be allowed inside that place. Never. But something has happened, and she's in there. And I feel this is very important to people like us. Because this is what actually happened, and you know, when you know your history on this, you know exactly what happened. Here's what happened. And by the way, later he says, "Your sins are forgiven." If you'll study that, I think if I remember right, I think it's past perfect tense, which means it should read like, "Your sins have already been forgiven, remember?" Remember? It's not like they're being forgiven on the spot. The way my Bible reads, it sounds like, "Your sins are forgiven right now." If you'll read it in the original language, it means at another time, at another place, her sins were forgiven, which means that this is not the first time she has seen Jesus. Because the past, it lets you know, "Your sins are forgiven," meaning we saw, remember your sins, remember we've seen each other, your sins are forgiven. So this tells me something, that this woman has already had her sins forgiven, maybe that just that day, maybe the day before, maybe a week before, probably very recently. But anyway, now the story. A woman who has seen Jesus before is there. Now, she's not invited to the dinner, but Jesus is. And she's standing in the outer court, and she's just watching it, just like everybody watches it. And suddenly, then she notices something. See, she remembers the time that she was in trouble, and she was considered a sinner, outcast of the community. But Jesus was kind to her, and he forgave her of her sins. And she's watching this, and she's watching, and she's watching. No washing of his feet, no kiss to him, no oil on his head. And it begins to turn, and it begins to stir, and it begins to stir, and it begins to stir. And she's starting to burn up on the inside, and her righteous indignation is starting to rise up. No, she's not invited. They would never let her in that place. But suddenly, she can't stand it anymore. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. This woman who knew what Jesus had done for her couldn't take it any longer, and she broke free from the outcasts and those that weren't invited, and she rushes in the middle of this dinner, and she falls at his feet, and her tears come down, and the oil and the perfume, and she goes to him, this sinner woman, and she says, "No, you'll not treat him like that anymore. You'll not treat Jesus like that. You'll not treat him like that. I'll not have it. I'll not have it. I'll not have it. You'll not treat Jesus that way. I don't care if you kill me. I don't care if you throw me out of the city. You'll not treat Jesus that way as long as I'm in the house. Even if I am the lowest of the lowest. Even if I am the sinner woman that nobody cares about anyway. You'll not treat him that way as long as I'm around here." That's what happened. That's how the outsider broke inside. And her tears began to go. And that's why he says, "You guys didn't do this for me." But she did. And suddenly they're in shock. Instead of him going out in a rage, a beautiful thing is happening, a prophetic thing is happening. And this woman is doing what they wouldn't do. And this woman is doing what very few people around you will do. This woman is doing what very few pastors will do, or groups will do, or denominations will do. Pastors, denominations, groups, evangelists, people that are well known on TV, and people that no one knows or never will know, play this game. And we continue to let our congregations, our youth, our children, our denomination, whatever it is, we continue to have church and church, another service and another service and another service, while we got people sitting in there snubbing him, insulting him, and treating him rotten. And we just go right along with the Pharisees as though it's not happening. And I want to tell you what happened to me and who I am in this story. Because as I read this, and God just impressed upon me as I'm sitting over there how I got in the middle of this. Because I'm still amazed that I am. And that's when verse 37 just breaks my heart. Because I wasn't a Pharisee. I wasn't an insider. I haven't been invited very often to too many things. And I have been snubbed over the years. So how did I get in this? And what is this picture that he's painting? And verse 37 comes alive. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, which, by the way, was considered not the right thing to do for a woman. To let down your hair for a single man was not a good thing to do in their culture. But you can tell she's abandoned all restraints of culture. It doesn't matter anymore what anybody thinks. Jesus is going to be treated right. Jesus is going to be treated right. She kissed him and poured perfume on them. And I think the picture of this is what God's doing and how God has brought us together here. Not many of us are noble, and not many of us are wise or anything like that. But he's taken people, as you hear these testimonies, their testimonies aren't testimonies of "I've done great things and I'm pretty wonderful and I've been at the top" or anything. These are just people been out there, out there, out there, just out there. And what's God asking of us? What did Pastor Steve do that's made the difference? Has he lived a perfect life? Has he earned the glory of God? Has he earned revival? Can he look back on his life and say, well, I'm sorry for you, but me, I haven't made any mistakes, or I don't goof up, or I don't have hurts, or I'm not driven once in a while by a stupid thought. I don't think I can say that, and I don't think you can say that. What I can say is this man who had lived a sinful life decided it was time to break free of the crowd and the well-to-dos and the everybody that knows how to do everything right and play in the game, broke free from the crowd and said, I don't care. It doesn't matter who I am. What it matters is who he is, and you're not going to treat him like that anymore. That's what I did. And I believe some of you here, it's painting a picture. That's what he wants. Revival is only a sign that we're willing to break free from the insults and the hard hearts and the lukewarm. You're not going to go back and be perfect people and all of a sudden you've got great wisdom and fire and you never make a mistake again and never have a thought that you shouldn't have. That's not what we're up to here. We're up to here. We're just sinful people breaking away from the crowd. That's all. He's saying when you break away from the crowd and do what nobody's done for me for so long. And we learn to hang around with Pharisees, and pretty soon when all the Pharisees get together, you know, and we look around and all the pastors and pastors' wives are at their big convention and the music's going and we look and none of them are worshiping and none of them are crying and none of them have a need of anything. They're just dignitaries. And suddenly we realize, I can't live like that. I don't want to be a dignitary. I don't want to be a dignitary. I want to break free from this insulting religion that cares nothing for what Jesus wants. And just, they call him a king, but they treat him like a servant or a pauper, right? They call him the King of Kings, and yet worship is a strain in our churches. You know, it's a strain to get people to worship, yet we call him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's silly. And I don't know if anybody will ever go along. Listen, I don't know if anybody will ever go along with you. I mean, these people here will, but when you go home, I don't know. You may go home a hero and break through and have a great move of God and everybody thinks you're great, and you may go back and nobody cares anything what's happened to you. I don't know. All I know is we have an assignment that he's asking from us is no matter what anybody thinks, no matter if anybody accepts what's happened to us or the call upon our lives, he's saying, will you break free from the crowd and free from the insults? Will you come and will you wash my feet with your tears? Will you do that? Will you kiss my hand, which is what worship actually translated means? Will you kiss the master's hand and will you pour the oil on me? Will you come and minister and just be somebody to me? I've been despised and rejected ever since I came to this earth. And I'm just wanting somebody who's important to me, make me important to them. Just somebody. And so I'm just saying, we may never be famous people. This may be the high point of our whole ministry. May have been coming here this weekend. Who knows? But one thing we do know, it's a prophetic picture that imperfect people and sinful people can break free from the crowd, not because of our perfection, but because we're going to do what's right for Him. And if nobody else goes along with it, let's do that. Let's go back and return the honor to whom honor is due. And he's the one that should be honored. Oftentimes we pastors and leaders, we like compliments and we like to be honored. But the one who really honor is due, it's him. And so I felt like it's not a fancy sermon, but it's a heart sermon. Because I was sitting over there, the Spirit of the Lord just jerked on my heart and said, how do you think you got in this? How do you think you got this far? And I didn't know, and some of you don't know, how you got this far. And now we have a better understanding. You know why? Because some of you here are willing to break free from the crowd. That's why. And you're not concerned, again, as much, at least, with what everybody's thinking. And the status quo, and the Pharisee system, and the religious things, and the denomination, and all the things and the money givers and the money takers, just break free and just do what's, just go back and treat him right. And whatever comes of that, doesn't it? If it produces great fruit and a great revival comes into your city, great. If it doesn't and everybody rejects you, all right, so be it. But you did what was right. You did what was right, and you came, and you wet his feet with your tears, and you treated him the way he ought to be treated. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just breaking free from the crowd saying, don't you think he deserves better than this? That's all, really. And when my people, when you agree over and over again, whether it be this sermon or another sermon, somewhere in that sermon is, don't you think he deserves better? I may not say it like that, but it's there. Let's treat him better. Let's treat him better. And I think God appreciates that so much. And Jesus appreciates it so much. That, you know what? He looks over and looks away and covers over so much imperfection, because he just loves that somebody who had this lady had an imperfect past, but she broke free from the crowd. And I think that's the calling. So when you get home or get back to the motel tonight, you might want to just read that through and just see if that's you, if that's the call. That maybe you'll never lead a great army. You may have to just walk alone and just break free and rush, do a rush job, just rush the crowd and do what's right to the one who deserves all the credit, Jesus Christ our Lord.